2013 in Formula One. A legend of the sport completed his incredible collection of titles.
Sebastian Vettel to win the Indian Grand Prix, to become a four-time world champion.
Jenson Button and a young Sergio Perez were driving for McLaren. Meanwhile, one of their future stars was beginning to shine.
And our first winner tonight from karting is Lando Norris.
Lando Norris won the FIA European Karting Championship. A lad raised in Glastonbury, the British town in Somerset, known for its massive music festival, was beginning to make some noise. More wins would follow, junior series titles in 2015, 16 and 17, and a dream start on the way to runner-up in the 2018 Formula 2 Championship.
In only his third Formula 2 race, he's going to win it! Lando Norris starts the season as a winner!
Woo! Good job, guys. Great, thanks for everything you've done. Great start to the season.
Lando Norris has been racing his whole life, but nothing prepares you for the pressure of Formula 1. When he arrived in the sport with McLaren, expectations were high. In 2019, the team were nowhere near as competitive as they are now. But despite that, some big milestones arrived early, starting at the 2020 season opener in Austria.
Lando Norris gets on the podium for the first time in Formula One.
Another first was ticked off in Russia the following year.
Lando Norris crosses the line. Lando Norris is on pole for the first time in his Formula One career.
But while Lando got used to spraying champagne on the podium, a much-desired first Grand Prix win eluded him. Until 2024.
It's a landmark day for Lando. Lando Norris wins for the first time in Formula One. It's victory in Miami for Norris. The British driver's dream is realised.
A lifelong dream fulfilled, Lando ended the year with 4 wins, 9 podiums and 8 poles. His best ever season in F1 led to a P2 finish in the Drivers' Championship, and he helped McLaren become Constructors' World Champions for the first time in 26 years.
Papaya on top!
I think she's going to be my year too.
And it just might be, but he'll have to beat his ridiculously talented teammate Oscar Piastri in what's shaping up to be a thrilling intra-team battle for the ultimate prize of becoming Formula One world champion. A lot of questions will be asked of Lando on track this season. We'll have to wait and see if he has all the answers. But does he have the answers to your questions right now? I reckon he can handle it. Welcome to F1 Explains. Ask Lando. Well, hello everyone, welcome. I'm Christian Hugill. Of course, this is F1 Explains. And a very warm welcome to the paddock here in Canada this weekend, in beautiful Montreal at the Circuit Gilles Villeneuve, where, to my left in the paddock in Canada, is a new addition this year. We've got Le Chalet and The Cottage, which is giving people in the paddock de la mer, from the sea, something from the sea. And is that an art? Yes. Arable, or maple, which looks like it's giving us some sort of syrup. Oh, they're those syrup sticks we had last year, which were beautiful. We're getting a feel of Canada in the paddock. It's absolutely lovely to be here at one of F1's classic tracks, one of my favourite tracks on the calendar. It is also a firm favourite of the drivers. They love it. It's tight and challenging, yet you can still overtake. It's a classic track that's been in F1 for years. The drivers absolutely love it. And the reason we're in Canada this weekend is to speak to one of those drivers. We are wandering through the F1 paddock where you bump into celebrities like Lawrence Barreto. Say hello.
Hello.
There's Lawrence Barreto. Look, you never know who you're going to bump into. Unfortunately, on this week's episode, we're not talking to Lawrence Barreto. We are talking to Mr. Lando Norris as we walk past a little coffee and bagel stand where the people in the coffee stand wave to us. I don't think they quite understand it's a podcast and they can't see us, but that's fine because we're walking to McLaren to speak to Lando Norris. And you might notice that I'm getting a little bit quieter now because next door to McLaren is Ferrari, where Charles Leclerc is currently doing an interview for the television outside the Ferrari garage. So I'll talk a bit quieter so to not disturb that. Here we are. We've arrived at McLaren, where they've got a beautiful display of flowers and a bowl of fruit on the desk as we get to McLaren. We're here to talk to Lando Norris. Now, I've been lucky enough to be talking to Lando on a regular basis since he started in Formula One. In fact, I remember talking to him for an interview days before his first ever Grand Prix. Back in 2019, it was the day before he flew to Australia. And I remember feeling so surprised that this very young-looking, quite small-looking, quite nervous-looking driver was going to be driving not just in Formula One, but for McLaren, who were a team at the time, as we've just said, nowhere near as competitive, but were still a big team. And to think of him going from that young, nervous-looking driver to where he is now, it sort of feels like he's been in Formula One for ages. And in other ways, it feels like that chat with Lando, where he was in a blue race suit all those years ago, feels like a couple of minutes ago. Now he is fighting for a championship, as we've just said, with Oscar. And he's such a huge part of Formula One. He's such a huge part of the sport. And you've been sending your questions to put to him here on F1 Explains. F1 Explains at F1.com is the place to send those questions. So this is one of our Ask a Formula One Driver specials. And what we say when you send these questions in for these episodes is, listen, ask anything you like. So it's a completely potted selection of anything you want to ask a Formula One driver about their life in Formula One and what it means to be a racing driver. So let's see what you've been sending as we put your questions to Mr. Lando Norris. Lando Norris, welcome for your debut on F1 Explains. Is this
Thank
the high
so
point of your Formula One career?
Absolutely.
So far?
Yeah. This is what I've been working towards.
Yes. I mean, there was winning the Monaco Grand Prix a few weeks ago, but I imagine this is better.
100%.
Yeah. Excellent.
100%.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
But yeah, ready to go drive.
Ready for a drive. Before you do that,
yeah.
This is one of our Ask a Formula One Driver editions of F1 Explains.
Yep.
We said we've got a Formula One driver coming on, Lando Norris. People have sent all sorts of questions about life in Formula One. We think you're pretty well qualified to answer them.
I hope so.
Do you want to have a go?
Let's have a go. Let's crack on.
The first one comes in about driving styles. We had loads of these, people wanting to talk to Formula One drivers about driving styles. Can you explain what a driving style is? For people who hear it mentioned on the telly all the time and think, yeah, I don't know what that actually means.
What's a simple way of explaining it? I think it's just it's personalities. It's like saying a person has a different personality.
It's a nice
some
way of putting it, though.
Nicer, some are more aggressive, some are mean, some are horrible.
And I've some got a horrible driving style.
Are lovely.
Yes.
It's the same thing, that when you're on track, people... the characteristics is the same thing. You have people who they try and drive always by braking as late as possible.
Mm.
Then you have some who are very smooth with the steering. You have some that are very aggressive with the steering. All of these different kind of characteristics of driving, and then you just kind of labeling that under a driving style. So it's kind of like the personality of the driver, but in the driving way.
When I was growing up watching F1, I was a Jenson Button fan, and people used to say Jenson had a smooth driving style.
Yeah.
So I guess that means he was kinder on the tyres. You know,
seems
a bit,
like it. It matches his personality, doesn't it?
Doesn't it just? Yes.
Exactly.
A calm man. What's your driving style? If someone said to you, like a dating app profile, you had to put like a driving style, what would your summary of your driving style be?
Legend. Yeah,
that's the best answer we've ever had.
Thank you, mate.
On F1 Explains, yeah,
no
lovely.
Worries.
Are you smoother? Are you more aggressive? Are you or a hybrid of the two, depending on the...
It's just...
But you said you'd be able to answer these questions.
No, I do. I just don't know how I drive. Like, it's hard to know where I fit under, because I don't know. It's just hard to picture what I am, like, compared to others.
Yeah.
But... I would say I'm in the middle. Like, I'm not overly aggressive.
Yeah, sure.
I would say I'm a late breaker.
I'm a late breaker. Yeah, I mean, that sounds cool, if anything, as well. So
I'm a late breaker.
Late breaker. Moving on from Lando the late breaker to podium celebrations. We had a lot of these. When we said you were coming on specifically, obviously we're used to seeing you on the podium now, which is lovely.
Yeah.
Rebecca in Sydney had one of these podium-based questions. Rebecca said, what is the trick to your champagne pop on the podium? Yeah. For those not aware of this, just explain what this is, first of all.
I nicked it from someone else, an old teammate of mine, but instead of like shaking the bottle and then spraying it, you smash it against the ground. The trick here is to not smash it.
It's just what I was about to say.
Yes. And the trick to that is by having a very, very thick, strong bottle.
Sure.
Yeah. So like Prosecco bottles, don't do it.
Interesting.
Yeah, not worth it. You know, like wine bottles.
Does a wine bottle have a thicker bottom than a Prosecco bottle, do you happen to know?
I think yes. Right. Prosecco is normally a very light, thin bottle.
So you'll just
smash it and cut your hand open. So this is dangerous.
Don't try this at home.
This is dangerous, dangerous stuff. Mm.
But champagne bottles, high quality. What is it? There's Moët and Chandon nowadays, isn't it? So high quality stuff.
The bottle is anyway. They don't have the stuff inside it. But
I think as an official Formula One podcast, we'd say it is.
Okay.
Yeah,
you can say that.
Yep. It's extremely high quality.
Yeah. I'm more like a Coca-Cola Monster kind of guy.
I love a Diet Coke, but still fine.
But yeah, thick bottle. And you, I've been given it some like recently.
Yeah.
With this smash. I struggle to hit it much harder than I do because, you know, I have a little jump.
And it,
yeah.
Great.
I'm waiting for the day it goes horribly wrong, but touch wood. Not happened just yet.
So Rebecca, a firm bottle, and you can pretty much
thick,
go in it.
Firm bottle.
A thick, firm bottle.
Yes.
Liz in Chicago. This is a great question. Liz says, does the spray of champagne hurt?
Yeah.
It looks like you get sprayed so much, so directly in your face and eyes during celebrations. Yeah. Does it hurt?
It stings badly.
Does it?
It really hurts a lot. But you can't really avoid it because it's just, if you get it on you, and then you open your eyes, it just, you know, it automatically just goes in your eyes. So it's not that you get sprayed in your eyes directly. It's just, yeah, it's the same as when you have a shower. Sometimes you get water in your eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Something I didn't realize until I interviewed your boss in Monaco.
Yeah.
I interviewed Zach after you'd won in Monaco and it stunk.
Yeah,
the champagne.
It does stink.
Poor old Zach was covered in it. I didn't realise it does not smell pleasant when
it
it's on a human.
No.
That was new to me.
Yeah, you got to wash it straight away.
Surely a shower is a high priority.
Yeah. Unless you want to smell horrible, but smell like you won.
You smell like winning.
Yeah, it's the smell of success.
And the final one of these is from Rachel in Ireland, who says, when the race podium finishers have sprayed champagne and taken the photos, do you go straight to the press conference or media, or do you get a chance to dry off and change?
Yeah, we change. So as soon as we come off the podium, we go back into the little room that you normally see us in with the three drivers, and we all change.
Which is highly beneficial for the people sat next to you and Tom Clarkson.
Yes.
Because otherwise you'd really smell.
No, you know, especially if Tom's in his suit every day.
He always looks smart, doesn't he?
He does look smart.
Yeah.
But no, it's good because you get cold quickly as well because you've been sweating, so you're very hot. Then you get covered and then you feel like you're very, very cold after. So it's important. Yeah, we have to go get changed. We have a full set of everything. But then you're very sticky, so then it's very hard to get all your stuff on.
Yeah, I didn't think... There's so much logistics with Formula One.
Yeah, like we can't go and shower, then change, then go press conference. We can just quickly change and then go press conference.
Yeah, but so you're still a bit sticky.
Yes, yeah.
Moving on to... this is a good one for you. Again, these came in a lot for you when people knew you were coming on. About helmet designs. You've had some special helmet designs. You know your basketball one in Miami 2022?
Yep.
So this was, for those that don't know, this was Lando had a basketball helmet. I said on Twitter, or X, whatever we call it now, that it was the best helmet in Formula One history. With slight tongue-in-cheek. Like, I loved it, but
it's just a cool...
Because it was cool. And then people got very cross with me being like, yeah, but what about Michael Schumacher? And I got a lot of stick.
Yeah. But so, they just say that because it's Michael Schumacher.
Exactly.
You know?
It's like, come on.
Like, if Michael never won a race, most people would go...
Yeah. helmet. I thought that was really cool. There was the beach ball in 2023 as well, the disco ball for this year's race. So Bo from Thailand has got in touch. Hello, Bo, and says, I would love to know the process behind each helmet design, since they're always so creative with them. How do you come up with the idea of each time, and what is the process from the idea to the finished helmet? So things like the basketball, was that your idea? Did you want to do that?
Yes, I mean, it's a group. I mean, I have my full team with me. And we tried to discuss what would be cool things to do. You know, what's not been done, what's a bit more, yeah, what's different? Because now everyone just kind of does the same stuff. You know, it's a painted, like, all these swooshes and...
You don't. You've got some really cool
ideas.
Thank
you very much.
Like the basketball. I loved the basketball.
And one of them was starting off the ball collection, which was the basketball, was then the beach ball. Golf ball was cool. Didn't really make sense because the golf ball's tiny and then just doesn't really look right when it's...
Well, that's all about perspective, though.
Oh, but Alex did it. Alex didn't look very good.
Fine.
So, yeah, we did, you know, a few of them. And then, of course, the final one and the best one of all was the disco ball.
Yeah, I like the disco ball. I like the disco ball
a lot.
Yeah,
it was cool. Especially the version with the actual mirror on. One of them. And it was, yeah...
I did like Alex Albon's panda one, though. Do you remember that with the panda eyes? That was quite fun.
Yeah, okay.
Do you remember that?
No, I remember it, yeah.
You just didn't like it? No, okay, fair enough. Yeah, all a matter of opinion.
Yeah.
Ryan from the UK asks, what's your favourite special helmet and why? You can pick your own. You can pick a different one if you want.
Oh, you know, Seb, back in the day, the king. Seb was the king of helmet designs.
Yes, he really was.
Back in the Red Bull era.
They were always cool.
Every race, new helmet. Out there, you know, the one in Singapore with the LEDs on the top got banned after that. He set the trend. So as Seb's collection, when he came back, you know, his later era of Formula One, meh.
I love the
helmets. Honesty. The helmets.
The helmets, of course.
Kind of cool. It's simple. You know, the German flag down it. I think it was kind of cool. And maybe he wanted to do something different, so I understand it, because his era of Red Bull. Every race different, and like the metallic looks, wooden looks, like that was his prime of helmet designs, and those are ones that I really, really loved when I was younger. So Seb was the king of helmet designs for sure.
When you look in the mirror, you see this old school cowboy.
Of Top Gun Maverick.
Why did Sonny Hayes come back to F1?
Starring Brad Pitt.
Ever seen a miracle? Pedal
down. Not yet.
On June 27th.
How do you think I'd feel if you die on the track?
Three laps. Three laps is a lifetime.
Moving away from helmets. Aeneas from the UK says, what is a typical Lando breakfast? I love how random our listeners' questions are. I did promise that they'd be sort of based on all things. So I want to break this up if that's okay. Like during a race weekend and away from a race weekend, I'm guessing you guys have to... We do get a lot of questions on driver nutrition. So sure. I'm guessing that's different if you're at home too.
A little bit. It probably shouldn't be, but it is. Avocado toast, poached eggs. Simple as it gets. That's my weekend's meals. Every breakfast, avocado toast, poached eggs. I love, and then often like a overnight oats or something. And normally when I'm away from the track, that is normally my meal, is an overnight oats little pot. Or if I'm lazy, croissant.
Oh, really?
A croissant.
Textbook. I seem to remember you telling me on a different podcast that you went to see Daniel Ricciardo in a winter.
Yeah.
And you two failed at cooking eggs.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I remember that. I can't remember what we tried to cook. We tried to cook something.
Involving an egg and it failed.
It might have involved the egg.
So has your egg cooking got any better?
No. No. I can do a good poached egg, to be honest. Like, I can easily make my own poached eggs. But, yeah,
I tried them in the air fryer the other day. It's not worth the bother. It's good, but it just takes a lot of
air fryer. Yeah,
air frying poached eggs, yeah. So moving this back vaguely towards Formula One, Aeneas also wants to know about your race day routine beyond breakfast.
Yeah.
So does each race weekend follow a particular race routine, or does that change?
No, it's pretty much the same every time. From like the requirements of what I got to go do. So, you know, that often that's a few meet and greets with some of our partners. It might be a paddock club appearance. Like there are three or four things that will change, like what they are, but it's the same thing. And then we have always our scheduled meetings, which is our engineering meeting, our strategy meeting, our team briefing.
Sorry to interrupt you. What time are you sort of getting up if this is all happening?
Say Sunday is normally the Sunday is the worst day.
Really? So if the race is starting at 2 p.m., what time's all that happening?
We'll be in by like 9 already. It's quite an early start.
Yeah, so it's an early start. Sound
relative to some of the other, you know, like this morning was like a 10 o'clock. Tomorrow maybe a bit earlier. Sunday sometimes can be very late, but sometimes can be very, very, very early. But relative, it's like obviously leave the hotel at 8 o'clock and then be here for 9, things like that. Then it all starts. You know, then we'll go into my breakfast here at the track. Then we'll go into our briefing. Then I meet a few meet and greets, another briefing, like our main meeting. Some time with my engineers, like my personal group, to go over our stuff. So it's structured and it's pretty full on. Then we have our driver's parade, come back, little break, change. Then that's basically it. So it goes very quickly. Like when you're here at 9 o'clock in the morning, you're like, damn, we've got a while. But before you know it, it's driver's parade done, and then it's, you know, you're getting suited and booted.
Last three have got to be really quick because you've got to go because you're about to speak to Andrew Benson from the BBC, who's a lovely man, and I don't want to upset him. Uh-huh. So, Summer says, what's Lando's non-racing guilty pleasure or hobby?
Oh, quite a few here. Kinder chocolate.
Oh, I didn't expect that. Great. Yeah, I've not had one of them in years.
Yeah, Kinder chocolate. Not Breno's. No Breno. Breno? No Breno.
What?
The Kinder chocolate, the little one, little Maxi.
I thought that was a Kinder Breno.
No. Yeah, it's a Kinder Breno. It's like the long one, like with the big dimple.
Right.
Very hazelnutty, biscuity. Yeah, no. No Breno.
No, not Breno. No Breno.
Kinder Maxi, the little just chocolate.
Okay.
Or the Kinder Egg, you know, it's just the chocolate with a toy inside.
Okay. Other chocolates are available.
Kinder Surprise.
Sounds great. If Lando had a day where he wasn't an F1 driver, what would he be? This is from Lid.
Golfer.
I knew you were going to say
golfer.
I'd have put
golfer,
good
golfer.
Money on you saying golfer.
Yeah.
And finally, this is a question I've never asked a Formula One driver before. Why do you want to become a Formula One world champion?
Don't really know, to be honest. Just
find yourself here.
It's just cool, isn't it?
It's just the goal.
It's
be rude
cool.
not to while you're here.
I know, because I think for a time, you prove that you're the best driver in the world. I think that's a pretty cool thing to say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's that. You prove that you're the best driver in the world. And I think that's a pretty cool thing to go around telling everyone.
Your first F1 Explains experience, how would you rate the listeners' questions?
Oh, 10 out of 10.
Oh, that's good.
10 out of 10.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's always fun to talk to you. I really appreciate it. Thank you for coming on F1 Explains.
Cheers,
and go well in Canada this weekend.
Breno.
And Lando Norris is walking away from me to go and speak to Andrew from the BBC. And this is how these days work in Formula One. The drivers get put in front of people, have a chat, and then they move on. Oh, and there's his race engineer, Will Joseph, who's just given us a thumbs up as well. That's nice. They're friendly people at McLaren, aren't they? I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. I really enjoy speaking to Lando, and they get asked an awful lot about the on-track stuff over the weekend. And I loved that when we said Lando was coming up, that you guys sent questions all about different stuff as well, their life, who these guys are as people. It's really, really interesting. Lando's a lot of fun to talk to. He's a very kind person. He's a very funny person. So really enjoyed speaking to Lando. Let us know what you thought of it as well. F1explains@f1.com. Tell us what you thought of Lando's interview. And if there's another particular driver you would like us to get on an Ask an F1 Driver episode, let us know. Producer Jamie, can I say who's coming up next on our Ask an F1 Driver episodes? Yeah, great. Jamie didn't look entirely convinced, but I'm going to say it anyway. Esteban Ocon will be next on our Ask an F1 Driver episode. So we're really looking forward to that. So we'll speak to Esteban very soon. You can see Lando and Brad Pitt, that's a sentence I never thought I'd say, in F1 the movie. There's a movie on, I don't know if you've heard about it. The premiere is next week, and you'll be able to see it the week after that. Go to f1themovie.com to find a screening near you. And we mentioned in that interview Tom Clarkson, who's very grateful that the drivers get time to change after getting soaked on the podium. That was, so I was doing the F1 TV interviews in Monaco the other week. I mentioned this to Lando, and was speaking to Zach. Good Lord, champagne really smells when it's on a human being. That was such a surprise to me. So anyway, Lando and the guys get changed before they go and speak to Tom. And speaking of Tom Clarkson, he has spoken to Lando on F1's other official podcast, F1 Beyond the Grid. He's done several interviews with Tom over the years. So search F1 Beyond the Grid, Lando Norris, to check those out. And of course, you can follow all the action from here in Canada this weekend on the F1 app, F1.com, F1 social media channels, and F1 TV. And we do want your questions to keep coming as well. F1 explains at F1.com is the place to send them. Some weeks we will devote a whole episode to a particular topic. Others we will fire a load of questions at someone who does a particular job, like a driver or a team principal or a race engineer. And sometimes we'll do quickfire specials as well, where we find experts in the paddock and throw a load of quickfire questions at them. You can ask anything you like about Formula One, anything that you think, do you know, I've always wondered this. This is the place to send those questions. F1 explains at F1.com. And this podcast has new episodes every Friday. And next week is a really different episode. No F1 race next weekend. So we're taking some time out to tell you the best ways and explain to you the best ways of planning a trip to a race, featuring the return of Katie Osborne. That is next week on F1 Explains. Right, look forward to that. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the Canadian Grand Prix from all of us on F1 Explains. Thanks to Lando, and bye for now.